It was a terribly tragic story that you may remember unfolding a few months ago when a young couple, a man and a woman, were murdered on a beach in California. They were both Bible camp workers. That may jog your memory, and you may remember that story of a few months ago. Chris Cutchell is the father of that young woman. He is a pastor at Fresno Bible Church in Fresno, Ohio, not California, and interestingly is a regular attendee of the Moody Bible Institute Pastors Conference, and so finds himself here today. Chris, welcome to Primetime.
Greg, glad to be with you today.
What a horrible story.
That's a really terrible story and difficult to deal with, but God has been really good and gracious to us and has gotten us through this far, and we're confident He'll continue to get us through.
You and I were just talking before it was time to come on microphone here that it's the kind of thing, I have two college-age daughters, you think theoretically about stuff like this happening, you know that you're not exempt, but really deep down, it's not going to be me, right? That's the thought.
Yeah, you know, I think most of us do that. Being in the ministry for as long as I have, been at Fresno for almost 19 years now, I've wondered, though, at times what God would bring our way so that we could be more effective in our ministry. And it actually has crossed my mind that tragedy would come, but I didn't know in what form. But certainly we are not exempt. And my wife and I knew that.
I know a lot of our listeners will remember this, but some won't, or the details are fuzzy because it's been a while. Just walk us through what happened. Was it about 9 months ago?
Yeah, it was just over 9 months ago. It was August 15th, 2004. It was on a Sunday night, Lindsay, our daughter, is a few weeks from being 23. She was 22, and her fiance Jason were working together at a Christian adventure camp as whitewater rafting guides, hiking guides, rappelling, that kind of thing, and really involved in some really cool ministry. And it was toward the end of the summer, And Lindsay wanted to go to San Francisco. Her mother remembers her saying that she liked to visit San Francisco before she came home. She's actually 1 week away. The camp season was just about over. She's going to fly back the following week and finish up details on their wedding. They were going to get married in about 3 weeks. And so they were last weekend. They went to San Francisco. Took a tour of the city. We actually, the detectives found pictures. They had, both of them had cameras on the beach, and they developed those pictures and gave them back to us. So we got these wonderful gifts from God of them, their last day there in San Francisco, and actually on the beach as well. And so they were there together. They're campers. They're professional campers, and they think it's immoral to stay in a motel together, but they also think it's immoral to spend good money on a motel when they can spend the night on the beach. And that's what they were doing before they drove back to the camp Sunday night. This would actually be Saturday, and so Saturday night, Sunday, and then they drive back Sunday morning to the camp for get ready for the week. Well, that night when they went to sleep, they didn't wake up this side of heaven. We're assuming a man walked down on the beach, perhaps was actually stalking them, and because it's a remote beach, they look for a safe place. Our detective said it was safe, typically, but obviously wasn't that night. And so apparently during the dark of night, walked down on that beach, took a .45 caliber Marlin rifle and shot them both dead in the head.
No sign of struggle, no sign of motive like robbery, or they put up a fight, or there wasn't anything like that.
No, you know, there's so many difficult things about handling this thing, but we are very grateful to God that it seems like it was very, very quick and painless for our children. So we're very grateful for that. But, yeah, there's, as far as we can tell, no motive. It was just completely, they were completely innocent and senseless from this side of heaven. They didn't steal anything. It's just crazy.
How did you hear about it, and what was your reaction?
We heard about it. Actually, we got a call Monday morning. We didn't hear from Lindsay. She always called on Sunday night, and we didn't get a call from her. Her week's just packed out, and so we didn't get a call from her Sunday. She always called Sunday night. And we thought, that's weird. Well, maybe she got busy and got caught up into things, or Jason did something. And so we didn't think too much of it, but was wondering as we went to bed that night. And the next morning, we got a call from the camp asking us if we knew where Lindsay and Jason were. And right away, you know, our stomachs dropped. We knew something was wrong, because we know these two. They're wonderful Christian young people that have a great work ethic, and they would never show up late unless there was a reason for it. And so the next day, we stayed in touch with the camp, called the sheriff's department out there, didn't hear anything. So the next day, Kathy and I got on the plane, flew out there. Jason's parents joined us, and it was Thursday morning. That was all Monday when we got a call from the camp. Thursday morning, we found out what happened. They actually laid on the beach.
It was that long.
They laid on the beach from the time they were murdered, probably in the very early morning hours, Sunday morning until Wednesday afternoon. Hmm. And then they verified who it was before they let us know. Hmm.
Totally remote area then. I mean, obviously not a lot of traffic there.
Very remote. It was an isolated area. It was about a 200-foot cliff they had to climb down, and it wasn't for the faint of heart. The detective said that not everybody could have walked or hiked down there. In fact, the way they found their bodies was a young man had had fallen over the cliff and was stranded, and they brought in a helicopter. He was trying to retrieve his girlfriend's purse. Yeah. And as the helicopter came in to retrieve this boy, they saw the two bodies in sleeping bags on the beach, or they saw the two sleeping bags and noticed that they didn't move even though the helicopter was hovering over them. Yeah. So they lay there for all that time.
Chris, what do you do in a time like this? I mean, here you are, you're a pastor, you know all of the right answers, you got all the theology wrapped up, but now it's your own daughter.
Yeah, Greg, I'll tell you what. What we did right away was just really lean heavily on the resources that God has given us. We're very grateful to God for preparing us for this. You know, it's always much more difficult to try to get prepared during a crisis. It's always better to be prepared on this side of the crisis, and we were grateful for God for that. And while the Allens, Jason's parents, Bob and Dolores Allen, and Kathy and I were in a house shortly after we found out about Jason and Lindsay, we just vowed together that we were going to trust the Lord in all this, believing His word that He does cause all things to work together for good. And so we just vowed together that we weren't going to let Satan win any battles here.
Now, when you say prepared, though, in what way? How did God get you ready for this?
I think spiritually prepared. I mean, you're never really prepared emotionally for this, and it's just been an incredible emotional endeavor. People ask us how we're doing, and we typically say we're doing really great spiritually, but it's just an incredible mental and emotional journey. But I think the thing, Greg, that prepared us more than anything else was our faith in God's sovereignty, that God is not only in control, but God cares. And we have held on to that with all of our might. And that has sustained us and strengthened us and has gotten us through this very difficult thing.
I can imagine somebody listening today and saying, okay, you've got a sovereign God who's all-powerful, and you've got a good God who you say is good, and He is. This doesn't go together. I mean, if you've got a God who's that powerful and that good, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, from a human perspective, that's true. But from a spiritual perspective, knowing that this earth is not our home, and we hang on to the fact that our kids are not with us, they're with their Heavenly Father, who loves them even more. It's hard for us to even comprehend this as parents, but it's true that God loves them even more than we do, and that in God's time, He took them home, and they are with Him. And there's a verse in Jude that speaks of God making them stand in His presence. Blessed and full of joy. And so we know that they're okay now, and we're grateful for that. But also, we have seen God use this in many powerful ways. And so we know that God does have purpose, and it's eternal, and we hang on to that.
How about your church? What was the effect there?
It was our church family. It was amazing and continues to be amazing. They have loved us and prayed for us through this. In fact, they would remind me, and that, not that I needed to be reminded, that they lost a daughter as well and a sister as well, and that she was just a vital. I mean, our girls grew up in that church family, so they knew her well. Yeah. And they just wrapped their loving arms about us and was there for us. It was incredible. When we got home, they were washing down our house. They were just knocking themselves out to minister to us and yet wanting to give us some space. But the first Wednesday night when we got back during prayer meeting, it was just a very powerful time where we were all together and spent family time talking and sharing and crying and hugging. And it was just a powerful time. And we're very grateful to God for our church family right now.
Are you preaching different because of this?
Sure. Yeah, you can't go through something like this and not be changed somehow. You know, it's the old saying, you know, you're either going to be bitter or better. More urgency. Kathy and I, the first few months, it's like, Lord, just take us home. To get out of here. But the Lord reminded us that we had another daughter and a son and a son-in-law and that we had a church family, and God was not done with us yet. But there's more of an urgency and a passion and a compassion, I think, to our ministry.
Yeah. And I'm sure people want to know where the investigation is. Any breakthroughs? Is it going to come to resolution?
Well, you know, they have some really good leads, and we talk to our detectives on a fairly regular basis. And since our kids were so innocent and this was so senseless, they are really have adopted this as their own, and it's very personal to these guys. Mm-hmm. And we're just seeing them really work it hard, but that doesn't seem at this point that they're very close to resolution, but they're still working it.
Chris, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Greg,
for sharing that story.
It's good to be here.
Not only the story, but what God has done. Chris Cutchell is pastor at the Fresno Bible Church. That's in Fresno, Ohio. I never did ask you where that is. I don't know where Fresno, Ohio is.
It's about 80 miles east of Columbus and east central Ohio.
Now I've learned a geography lesson. Thanks, Chris.
Good to be here, Greg. Thanks.